My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust today. The purpose of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of the UK. Today's date is the 30th of July 2009 and the time is now 4:26 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
Hi Michelle, I'm 41. My name is Scott Cupid. I'm a proud East Londoner with an Australian accent.
Where does the Australian accent come in?
Well, I'm a Melbourne boy originally and run a large swing dance school in Australia and launched it in London in February. So applied for this competition with the possibility of giving my school some awareness.
What prompted your move from Melbourne to the UK?
Like many Australians, had always the dream of living in London, perhaps coming back to the homeland, eh? But always wanted to, and when I got the right visas, it was just such a great opportunity for me to do this and have a great adventure.
How's it been setting up the school?
I've loved London, love every second of it, love East London. Setting up a school in a recession when you're brand new and you have no branding, no awareness, has been quite tough, and we have worked really hard. But, you know, we're okay, we're still here and we're surviving, we're loving the adventure, but we're very realistic that it'll take a while and we're quite large in Australia, but we have maybe 120 students here and we're really thrilled about that.
Are you running this with a business partner?
My business partner runs the Australian arm, so I'm here on my own so we speak regularly on Skype and all that, but no, the London arm is my responsibility.
How have you managed to attract new people to come and learn swing dancing?
Well, we've been dancing in the streets. We've been running really good classes where people laugh and we've made, you know, our product is a very joyful product. You know, you can't help but have fun. So once people come, we notice they're bringing their friends. So we've started quite small and slowly people are enjoying what we do and it's a beautiful art form. So. Plus, there's lots of Aussies in London and they know about us through Sydney and our Melbourne and Tasmanian, so that's helped.
Why is it that you think that swing dancing and other forms of dancing from around the same era, why are they so popular now?
I think it's a chance to interact with other people. I think that, you know, the 70s and 80s, nobody touched each other in dancing, you know, and suddenly here's an art form that's safe, it's healthy, it's not grindy. It's a music that you can tap your foot to. I think it was just ready. I think everyone was just ready for something like this because globally, swing dancing's had a massive resurgence. So, we're excited to be part of it.
Can you tell me where it originates?
Well, it's from the Savoy Ballroom in New York. So it's an American, you know, vernacular jazz dance. And it was, you know, it arrived out of there, then went to the west coast of America. But basically, it's from America and from New York. And the old African American did a great job, and then it's spread since then.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Well, I'm a Leo. And when I need to be, I am the leader, you know. And but of course, I've realized last night when I couldn't sleep that I have a very shy, nervous side. But my students probably won't believe that, but I was terrified last night. I had the worst night's sleep ever. But yeah, when I need to be, I can be that upfront guy, and I've been in shows and done a lot of corporate work and danced in front of all sorts of people in all sorts of environments and taught in a lot of places. So I've been very fortunate with swing dancing. It's been very good to me. But I think I'm a confident person. I believe in myself, and I have I think I have the right skills to make Swing Patrol work here and make it good for people around me.
Tell me a bit more about what you're actually going to do on the plinth.
When I got the position, I was so excited, but I thought it's too amazing an opportunity not to share. So I wrote up a plan where I could be as inclusive as possible. So I've included, there'll be 110 dancers today following me around the plinth, and it's very beginner friendly, you'll see that. So people who have had two lessons will be behind me following my moves, and it looked should look quite spectacular with the hands and so forth and a lot of laughter, and I'd be reminding them that it's just dancing. If they make mistakes, it's all good fun, you know, don't take it too seriously. But so the plan is to dance for an hour. I will stop and have, you know, drink of water and so forth, but there's a whole choreographed hour, and sometimes I actually throw it to my team. There's one time where I want to call my sister and they will keep dancing and I'll be watching them and clapping them. So it should be a really interactive thing, also doing a lesson for the public. How that will go, I'm not really sure, but I'm hoping to try and give a lesson and from up there, and we'll see what happens, see if we can create some swing dancers.
And you're playing music up on the plinth?
Yes, I have a sound system, and so that'll help, and the copyright's all sorted through Sky TV. So
how long is it taking you to
We've run rehearsals, and you know, I spoke to my teaching team and I said, all right, this is what we're doing. So the last 3 weeks, it's been very hardcore, completely focused on the plinth in this moment. So our dancers have had this incredible deadline. We have dancers that have taken today off annual leave. We have dancers who, I ran into one this morning in Broadway Market and she said, oh, my husband calls me robot woman because I'm just new and I'm really stiff, but I'm in the kitchen practicing my moves, and you know, and so they're all really nervous and they've got this adrenaline running through them, and you know, that great drug of anticipation. There's 120 of them today and they'll be probably more nervous than me in some ways.
How do you think performing on the plinth will compare to some of the other places you've danced at?
I think this is by far the most important, iconic thing. You know, you can't, when you think of Melbourne, my homeland, you probably can't even think of a certain place as in, you know, you think Sydney, you think the Sydney Harbour Bridge or the Opera House, but Melbourne doesn't quite have that, as wonderful a city as it is. Trafalgar Square, you don't even have to say London. It's just Trafalgar Square and everyone knows where it is. So I've never done something in such an amazing part of the world, the most amazing location. So this is probably as big as I've done, I think. I've done it for big crowds. You know, I've choreographed for Strictly Come Dancing, the Australian show, and, you know, my choreography was in front of 5 million people in the final. But this feels far more nerve-wracking because it's me dancing and it's in such an iconic venue.
Why did you particularly want to take part in this project?
Well, I'd heard of Anthony Gormley, and when I saw the application, it immediately hit me that the potential, you know, I thought I might get 5 a.m, but so be it. No matter what, it was going to be an incredible experience to be on the plinth in Trafalgar Square. But if I got a good spot, which I have, you know, God bless you guys, you know, I've got 6 p.m. on a Thursday, I could see the potential one for fun, the potential two to be interactive with my students and for them to be proud and have a great experience themselves, and obviously three for Swing Patrol to get some awareness, you know, my school that at the moment no one knows about. So I could just see it, there were so many reasons that it was going to be great no matter what, and to be part of live art, you know, to be in the National Gallery. I mean, it's so random, and there's nothing, this will never happen again, you know. I can't imagine I'll do anything quite as crazy as this again. So it's very unique and very special.
Did you take part in any arts type events or projects while you were in Australia?
I took part in many, many festivals as a dancer, but I was never the central key figure or anything like this. So I've been part of all sorts of things, but just as a swing dancer, as part of a chorus group, or as the backup swing dancers for the main attraction coming on after us, things like that. But no, this is completely unique, completely random, and I've never been involved in anything so big.
Tell me a little bit about your growing up and how you became interested in dance.
Sure. I grew up as a missionary's kid in Papua New Guinea, and a very religious family, very Baptist family, and we didn't do dancing. And my father still scratches his head, who's incredibly supportive, but he can't figure out how his son became a swing dancer. I was supposed to be a banker, you know, I have a finance degree and all that. And I left banking to chase this love of dancing. And it was a big thing. My father was not overly thrilled and was quite confused that I was chasing this love of dance to give up my banking career. So, my background was born in New Guinea, grew up in a private school, you know, did the right thing, studied banking and finance, was traveling around the world, saw swing dancing, you know, it's an American dance, saw it over there, fell in love with it, became obsessed, got to Melbourne, didn't exist, found my business partner, she and I tried to share it a little bit, we had the right formula, it blossomed, and suddenly we're known as the largest swing dance school in the world, well, that's what they say, and so that gave us the courage to open in London. The snapshot. Is that a bit waffly?
What's been her reaction to you taking part?
She's so thrilled because she knows how hard I'm working here. You know, she feels not guilty, but she'll ring me and she goes, you're doing it tough, aren't you? Because, you know, I'll say, yeah, I taught 8 people tonight. We're used to 80. You know, Melbourne is a massive swing community, so she knows that these are the early days for Swing Patrol here. And you just have to do that. You know, you have to build slowly and you have to believe in yourself. So she's so excited. She's thrilled that I got this position. She knows it's good for our confidence. It's good for the students to see us doing cool things. And she's incredibly supportive and a great lady and a very special friend. Yeah.
Just going back to Papua New Guinea, were there many Australians there at the time you were there?
Well, I was only there till 7 years old. Yeah, there was. I mean, there was the Christian community was obviously there, and there was people, there was a lot of mining people. So there was a lot of expats, but I mean, I grew up with nationals, though. You know, there's all these photos where I was the only white guy in my village, nationals being the locals. I guess that was the name, the appropriate name at the time. So there was only my family and another family from Australia in my little village. But I think New Guinea did have a lot of mining people, a lot of Australians there for the mining and so forth. And then there was, my dad was translating the Bible, so he was a translator. He's a language dude, so, yeah.
What did you think of your father's work when you were small?
Well, I was very proud of him, but I didn't really... He's just dad. We just played football. You know, dad was never a high church man to me. He was just dad and, you know, very competitive. And we'd throw a ball on the beach, and as soon as I dropped it, he'd go, 1-0, you know. He's just a fun father, and nothing's changed to this day. He still tries to beat his two sons at tennis, and, you know, it's just, we're very special friends, and we have a very special bond, and he'll be watching Somewhere Live from somewhere, and yeah, it's I never really saw him as the high church guy. He was just my dad. Yeah.
What about your mum?
Mum's a very special lady. She cries every time she takes me off to the airport. I'm like, Mum, don't cry. If she was today, she would definitely be in tears. And God bless her for that, because it just comes out of love for her children. And so she's very supportive. I mean, every time one of her kids hops on a plane, she writes us a letter, you know, how much she loves us and how proud she is of us, even if we're not doing anything overly spectacular. So I feel I've had very good parents and a great upbringing.
What else is important to you apart from dancing? What else is important in your life?
Well, you can probably gather through what I've said how important family is, and my family are quite global. I have a sister in Virginia, I have a brother in Fulham and mum and dad in Australia, but because we're fortunate in our travels, we do catch up a lot, and we're very, 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 very close in different ways. So family is very important. Community is very important. Part of my success with Swing Patrol is putting people ahead of the dance, and so we've created this massive community under the banner of Swing Patrol, because it's about the people first, and then the dancing will follow and great dancers will come. But if you create this place where people can belong and enjoy and be, and they can learn the art form at any pace they suit. You know, some people are more gifted in certain areas than others, and it's okay. You can love what you do and still be struggling as an actual dancer and probably not win a competition, but it doesn't mean you're less important than the next person. And I think creating a community that I've been the leader of is very important to me.
Do a lot of them go in for competitions, your students?
Look, competitions are very much part of dancing, but the balance must be kept. So we run two competitions a year. So in London, we'll run the London Jitterbug Championships next May. But until that time, our focus is social dancing, just getting out there to a live band and go out and just enjoy yourselves. But of course, there is a focus that competition pushes the envelope of the dance. At the end of the day, as a dance school, we have a responsibility to make sure we create great dancers. And competitions is just one way where people work hard and they're going to get that aerial and they go and just spend hours trying to nail that move and getting that technique right and so forth. So there's definitely a place for competitions, and I'll soon be in Australia emceeing the Australian Jitterbug Championships in August. And so, yeah, and I've personally competed in America and done all sorts of things like that.
How old are the people that come along to your classes?
It's a young group. It's a bit older than university students. It's probably young professionals and they're looking for something to do. So it's probably average only, 25 to 35 is the average age, but we have a couple of 80-year-olds and we love them to death, and we have some kids as well, you know, some kids. So, but in general, it's that group that have got a lifestyle where it's great to do something during the week, and they're like, you know what, let's check out Swing Patrol and let's see how, and let's have a go and have a fun night out.
So where are the dances held in London?
Well, we are in Brick Lane, and we're in Old Street, and we're in Greenwich, and we're in Soho. So we've cancelled our Brick Lane classes tonight. They're all coming to the plinth. We're in Fulham, and we're opening in Southwark soon. So we have 8 venues. I've probably forgotten one in all this. Clapham Common, we're in Clapham Common. So
the people that would be at class, they're here?
Absolutely. Yeah, oh yeah, we've closed down everything tonight. So everybody can come here. We didn't want any of our teachers missing out. This is too unique an opportunity, this live art. Imagine me saying, look, I'm going to this thing. Can you guys cover for me at Brick Lane? That's our big night. It's quite a big thing. No, we just closed everything down. It was worth the risk of, I know you lose momentum in a venue and so forth, but this is so special. There's nothing more important tonight to us than this hour.
What impact do you think it will have, you being on the plinth?
Realistically, I'm a realist, having done things like this before. You know, I was the chief choreographer for Strictly Come Dancing in Australia, and Lindy Hop was in the final, and I remember the judges saying to me when, you know, I briefed them on what Lindy Hop was, and they said, you watch Lindy Hop or go berserk now. Didn't make that big a difference, really. So I think it'll give, it'll have a little spike. It'll definitely help because, you know, our name will be out there and our students will be in front of people. But I think it won't suddenly mean it's easy for us. We'll still need to work hard as the new school in London, in a very big city where you're competing with so much to do. And that's what I find the hardest thing. Students come up to you and go, such a great class, love how you teach. Then you don't see them for 4 weeks. And they're like, sorry, we had this on and that festival in London is just heaving, to use your word, heaving with amazing options every night. And I love London for that. But as a new school and a new business, that makes it quite tough. And I think this will help, definitely. But I think there's a lot of hard work still to do.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you. I would love to meet Anthony Gormley one day. I don't know how that happens, but I'm so grateful because just whatever happens, I'm so glad to be chosen. I'm quite genuinely just thrilled to have this unique life experience.
Thank you very much.